Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Red hot comic book movie news.
Paper news of the Earth.
Defenders. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. And with me, as always, my co-host Nick Mason.
Wow, a rare misstep from James Mr. Sunday movies there.
Thank you. It was rare, but it... And it was a misstep. You got both things right. That's well done. Right. What a great start.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Bless this mess.
Agree. Oh, this spoke again. But I was trying to fix your microphone. So if anything, that's your fault.
It's part of my contract that I do not fix anything. And everything goes wrong all the time. And I'm bad at it. If you'll check Article 1 of my contract, it says he will be bad at everything all the time.
The one and forever. The one and only article.
And you can't, yes, and you can't fire him. Because technically he doesn't work here, I guess. Anyway, it's great to be here.
It certainly is. Just up top. I went on a few podcasts this week, but they're all under the Sans Pants umbrella. The one that's out at the moment at time of recording is Thumb Cramps.
Oh, yes.
Which is a big fun time where we talk about all the video gaming we've been doing lately. Yeah. So it's also, I can't remember how they phrase it, but it's games giving something where they make each other play a game and it's like a gift and they go, wow.
Did you have to play a game?
No, I mean, I played my own game.
So not part of games giving.
No,
it
they
seems.
Didn't let me in.
Wow, yeah. That's actually very rude of them.
Yeah. But that was good fun.
But that's all right, because like Jackson would have made you play some weird freak game. So.
That's true.
Yeah. So and you have had to give him some weird freak game, so you'd have to go to the game shop and be like, what's a weird freak game for Jackson, you know?
But I also did a couple episodes of Plumbing the Death Star, which I haven't done in a few years. They're out this week, least one of them's out this week.
Cool.
So, yeah, one of them's on it's Raining Men, and what would that look like?
Okay. Like, horrifying.
Horrifying. And the other is, what would you do if you had the powers of the Flash?
Oh, so, which probably make it Raining Men.
Probably make it Raining Men. So that also ties into this week, of course, where we are going to be talking about the Flash movie.
Oh, 100 years in the making.
My goodness, you are not wrong. There are time codes below if you do want to jump to that. But before we get there, we're going to talk about the death of a comic book legend, some updates on the writer's strike, a whole lot of new dates for some MCU stuff and some Avatar stuff and some Disney stuff, Mason, and some
stuff.
And some Sony Marvel stuff.
Stuff.
First look at...
some spum stuff is what you're
spum
saying.
Spum stuff, that's
okay,
right.
All right.
First look at Kraven.
Oh, that's some spum stuff.
It certainly is. What's going on with the Hulk?
It's a great question.
Christopher,
that's our spin-off podcast. What's going on with the Hulk?
We don't know.
He's not here. We have no connections.
Tell us.
Yeah,
if you know.
Yeah, if you know, the authorities, let us know.
That's right.
Yeah. Why is he and David Banner always walking slowly in the woods at roughly the same time? What's going on there?
Why is that
sad music playing all the time? Do you think there's a connection between those two? We don't know.
We don't know.
We're not the authorities.
You tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan is also maybe that Warner Brothers deal is like some mending of fences and bridges.
Oh, the fences have been mended.
Wait, if the fences are mended, would that mean there would be a divide still? Did you put a fence
up? Oh, that's true, actually.
Stay on your side of the fence.
Yeah, I'd never thought about that phrasing at all. We've cracked the code.
We have.
Because that implies, James, that even though the fences have been mended, there is still... You know, that's
still that divide.
There's still that divide.
Get off my
is the premise there that like you're warring neighbors?
Yeah.
But then you've mended the fence, but you're still like you're still cold and aloof.
If it was
really makes you think.
It does. If it was fences are mended and there's a gate, that's different.
Or a slip and slide.
Yeah.
a communal slip and slide, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Also, some more cancellations on the CW, and then the Batman, the Brave and the Bold gets a director. Mm. But that...
For now.
Yeah, that leads into The Flash.
Yes.
Which we will talk about. Mason, sad news.
It's just there was nine seasons of the Flash TV series in between the announcement of the Flash movie and the Flash movie coming out. It's just fascinating.
We just don't know.
Yeah, we just don't know.
So John Romita Sr. has passed away age 93. People might know him as he's the artist who took over from Steve Ditko in 1966 on The Amazing Spider-Man.
That's true.
He's responsible for a number of iconic imagery, including Spider-Man No More. I'm not Spider-Man. I won't be doing it.
Spider-Man costume in the bin.
Spider-Man in the bin, yeah.
He's responsible for Spider-Man in the bin.
If they would let me, this is off topic of this man's death who died, which is very sad, I'd do like an Elseworlds where the suit puts Peter Parker in the bin. Walking away.
Oh, wow.
What do you think?
And the head sort of floppy to the side. Yeah, okay, great. Yeah.
Cool.
And Peter Parker, maybe there's a thought balloon and Peter Parker's like, but I don't want to be in the bin, you know?
Too bad.
Yeah.
He also co-created Wolverine because he was in the leadership of Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, John Romita Sr., like when we say longtime Marvel artist, we're talking when Marvel was Timely Comics in like the late 40s. Yeah. And then he came back for, he was in the army.
Yep.
And then he came back for when Timely Comics became Atlas Comics, and that's where he worked with Stan Lee for the first time. Wild. And then he came back again when Atlas became Marvel.
Mm.
And then, yeah, like you said, he was on Daredevil for a while.
Yeah.
And then Steve Ditko left Marvel and left Spider-Man, so we got to doing Spider-Man.
Mm.
And yeah, and so he would have co-designed Mary Jane Watson,
yep.
Iconic.
Mm-hmm.
The Rhino, iconic.
Yep.
Shocker, iconic. So everybody from that era, the Kingpin.
Yep.
Who were you saying before?
Spider-Man in the bin.
And so there was this era where he had a hand in creating so many of these designs that we see now that are just sort of, you know.
He's responsible for all the designs they're not doing in the Spum universe.
That's exactly
right.
In
the Sony Pictures universe of Marvel movies.
So he would have designed Wolverine based on like a real little...
Grub.
Like a little grubby, ratty man kind of thing. One of the first like ever pieces of information I ever learned about like the design of characters back in the day was that when Jerry Conway thought of the idea for the Punisher, he sent John Romita Sr. Like a little sketch of that idea.
Mm.
And it was like the black jumpsuit with like a little skull and crossbones in the middle, like Batman size, like the Batman logo. And Romita Sr. was like, cool, but what about this?
Yeah.
And then he gave him the giant, like the white skull Punisher logo with the teeth that go into the gun belt and all that sort of stuff. And like,
that's way cooler.
Iconic. It's way cooler. Exactly, yeah. So,
I didn't know that. That's super cool. So his son, who's also in comics, John Romita Jr.,
who
would know.
Who has, also iconic, but like a very distinctive, very distinctive from his father.
Yeah.
But like he's also been a long-time Spider-Man artist. He's got this sort of super cool kind of blocky style to him.
Absolutely.
There's more to it than that, but I like to think of it
that's it.
Yeah.
No, he said, I say with a heavy heart, my father passed away peacefully in his sleep. He is a legend in the art world, and it would be my honor to follow in his footsteps. Please keep your thoughts and condolences here out of respect for my family. He was the greatest man I ever met. So, yeah. I mean, 93 is great, like, obviously, but, you know, what a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mason, let's move things along to happier news.
Okay.
The writer's strike is still happening.
Yay!
Actually, this is bad news.
Uh-oh,
so this
no,
is the
what?
Headline from The Hollywood Reporter who says, writer's strike collateral damage. Janitor layoffs at studio spur demonstration. I can't believe all these writers fired these janitors.
They did it. without the writers being in those little rooms, in those crowded little
all
rooms.
Or working from home.
They're working from home. They didn't make any litter, so the janitors had no bins to empty, so they were going to get laid off.
Yeah.
Sorry, writers, you did it.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
How's that for a headline?
Yeah.
Really good stuff. So, you know, so it is ongoing, and this has also led to a number of delays, which we are going to talk about today. Though a couple
delays
things.
Today.
Yeah, a couple things have been moved up. So, you know, it's not all bad news.
Is that good? Moved up. You mean closer to now?
Closer to now.
Okay, great.
Somewhat. Okay, here's some Marvel dates. Captain America Brave New World was May of 2024, and now it's July of 2024.
Okay, so that's later. Great.
Yes.
Good.
That's filmed, though, or pretty much filmed if it's not already. Okay. I think it's done. Thunderbolts was previously July 2024 and now December 2024.
Okay.
Blade, is never happening, was that was supposed to start.
Yeah.
Just before this all happened. September of 2024 is now February 2025.
Okay.
We'll see. Fantastic Four was February 2025 and is now May 2025. That's not, there's not a lot of movement there.
Mm.
But Avengers the Kang Dynasty has been bumped a full year from May 2025 to May 2026.
Because they've got to fix the entire concept.
They've got to fix the concept. I don't think they've they haven't announced a director yet for that one, have they? One of them they have. I can't remember.
Mm.
And Secret Wars is also bumped a year to 2027.
Whoa.
Which is the follow-up.
Okay, but Secret Invasion is coming out pretty soon, right? It's like yeah. 2 weeks from now.
I'm going to talk about it in What Are We Reading, because I saw one of the episodes, mate.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
You've been keeping this from me. You've been keeping this under your little hat.
Do you want to see
your
it?
Little propeller hat.
Do you want to see
not
it?
Not really, no. Okay. Is it one of those screeners that has...
Yeah, it's got my name across
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I don't like those. You have to face. Watch it on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. No, I don't want to watch it like that, no.
Cool.
I'll wait 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I'll be mad at you for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you can be mad at me.
Okay, great.
Sorry, I should have messaged you to let you know, Mason, that I'm watching a bad version of it. An inferior product.
You should have just put it on Twitter and then I could have watched it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I probably should have, yeah. So that's the world of Marvel.
Mm.
They're either waiting to see what's going to shake out also with Kang, with Jonathan Majors, or they're restructuring the entire thing.
Yeah,
or,
I mean,
who knows?
It might become the Doom Dynasty in 6 months.
Another time. Guy Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, about those guys and they catch ducks or shoot ducks or whatever.
You know who thought Kang was dead? Well, he is.
Right.
There's another guy, though.
Yeah.
It's not Kang.
Another guy Dynasty. Different guy. It's the You Dynasty. We're doing it like that Time magazine,
oh,
Person
no.
of the Year, and it's got a mirror on the front, and it's you.
I hated that one.
You're the villain now.
Didn't they pick the computer once as well?
Probably.
They were like, the computer is the Person of the Year. Well, I disagree, Mason. You know?
Mm.
I didn't get a say in that.
Well, you wouldn't. You love computer.
Yeah, but I don't want them to be the Person of the Year. That means they beat me out.
That's true. But you won.
I'm not better than a computer.
But you won that time. So
yeah,
fine.
I know, but I wanted to win twice.
You can still win twice.
Can you?
I think so.
I'm back in the running?
Yeah.
Great.
So, yeah, as guy who hates computer, guy with grudge against computer, you could win that.
I love this computer, Mason.
Yeah, well.
But I hate the internet. Anyway, speaking of, Avatar 3, which was December 20 of 2024, so that was next year, is now going to be December 2025.
Okay.
Avatar 4 and 5 are now December 2029, which is 4 years after that.
Okay.
And December 2031.
Oh, my God. That's not a real date. Also, that's – look, honestly, that's also – I mean, James Cameron has taken a risk there because those dates are after – the apocalypse as depicted in the Terminator movies.
Oh, my God.
So maybe we won't even have an Earth then.
That's a good point. No, they fixed that in the movie, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they probably
fixed it. Some of the movies they fixed that.
Can't
remember which one. Yeah.
Also, I'm sure some of these are due to the writer's strike, but I'm sure also some of these are just like...
Internals.
Yeah. Or they've seen, you know, visual effects footage and the like, and we're gonna give these guys another 6 months. I imagine some of this is like feedback on...
Oh, absolutely,
some of this must be feedback on, especially the Marvel stuff, feedback on... You know, the visuals of recent movies and them going, oh, maybe we should.
Some we can tie like directly to the writer strike, like Thunderbolts, because that we've talked about that one before. But
we don't have a script yet. We don't know what this is about.
We don't know who's in this or why.
Mm.
Yeah.
David Harbour, why are you in this? We're interviewing the cast. Oh, money, you say?
Oh.
Okay, right.
Makes
great.
Sense. Yeah. Mm. Also, you're going to hate this. Untitled Star Wars movie has been pushed from December 2025 to May of 2026, which is the traditional Star Wars date for Solo and other Star Wars movies. And second Untitled Star Wars movie, which was...
What about second Untitled Star Wars movie?
That's going to come out the same year in December.
Very bold of them to just say, we don't even have titles for these. But they're on the slate for sure.
Yep.
And the director's locked in.
Yep.
Not fired.
Yep.
And they're definitely coming out. Oh, we delayed them.
Yeah. So, but we don't know specifically who. One of them's probably the Rey Skywalker movie.
Okay.
I know you're never going to call her Rey Skywalker, Mason.
It's true.
But that's happening.
She's Rey Sandgrub to me, always.
Also, there's the Thrawn movie, which is linked to, like, the Mandalorianiverse.
Okay.
That's probably happening. And there's also a James Mangold movie. But I think that depends on Indiana Jones.
Absolutely, it does.
And apparently a bunch of critics saw them and they were like, it's pretty good, maybe. So this week it's pretty good, maybe. Yeah. But you hate that, don't you, Mason?
No, I want it to be good.
Yeah, you say that now. Look at you, coming around now that you've heard the positive word about.
That's right.
Bearing in mind, the ones that just came out don't mean anything because they're from, like, you know, they go to the screening and then whatever, and Harrison Ford's there.
They get a free popcorn in a Indiana Jones hat.
Yeah. I'm one of those guys. Yeah. You can't trust me.
I know. You've probably seen it already on your phone.
Yeah, I did.
Your name across it, you know, not telling anybody.
Yeah, I did.
They sent you some stale popcorn in an Indiana Jones hat. You got to whip it out into your mouth.
Ooh. So anyways, we'll talk about, I don't know, those when they come out.
Mm. Also, when I said, oh, they're probably pushing them back for visual effects reasons, that's just wishful thinking on my part. They're probably not going to change
probably
anything.
Probably don't care, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, also, you can't trust the Cannes reviews either because they're all snooty French people.
That's true.
So who can you trust? Yourself and nobody else.
That's right.
Look in the mirror and say, I trust you. But that's it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all.
And that weird monster that appears behind you.
Yeah.
Like Patrick Wilson in Insidious.
That's right.
You can trust that guy.
Yeah, he's fine. You know? He's all right. Yeah.
He'll mind your kids.
Definitely. Oh, isn't Patrick Wilson directing the next one of those ones?
Yeah, there's a new one coming out.
Yeah. Mm. Insidious Inception or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah.
I can't remember which that's not the one with where they're ghost hunters, is it?
No, that's the other one. It's very confusing to me at least because he's in two horror franchises.
And I've never seen any of them.
And he's in Moonfall.
Yeah.
And I think they're all set in the same universe. And all three of those characters are going to meet, I think, in maybe the final one.
That'd be great.
Patrick Dynasty.
Whoa. He's the other
Patrick
thing.
Wars.
Whoa.
Yeah, Infinity Patrick.
He could be the guy.
Yeah, that's right. He could be the guy.
Three Patrick Wilsons.
Yeah.
Here's the good news, though. Deadpool 3 has been moved up from November of 2024 to May. They need something to fill the gap, and that's currently filming.
All right.
So it's that.
Is that a good sign, though?
Yep.
A movie that famously a character that famously requires a lot of improv and funny bits thought of on the day, they're just being like, yeah, give it a few fewer months.
Yes.
Okay, great.
That's good news.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is Fede Alvarez's Alien movie, which is apparently unconnected from all the other ones, has the date of August of 2024.
Okay.
So that's, I think they're doing that either in like a Prey style.
Oh, okay,
separate,
sure.
Same thing, whatever, which is good, I think, to do it that way. And also Moana, but not Moana that already came out and not the sequel to Moana.
The live action
Moana
one?
Again. That was...
Wait, which one is this? Is
the
this
one the live-action live action one?
With The Rock, maybe.
Yes. That was July 2nd, 2025. Mm-hmm. Now it's June 27th, 2025.
I guess you don't need to rewrite that.
No.
You just have the old script and you make it longer somehow.
Yeah. You put some new songs in that people don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You go for it. So that's moved up 6 days or whatever.
Has The Rock ever done a song? I guess he's in...
I mean, he sings in Moana.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. So. It's a great movie, genuinely. Yeah. He's really good in it. Mm. Yeah. So there you go. Oh, I forgot this good news.
Oh, no. What is this?
El Muerto apparently begins production on August 7th of this year.
No, it doesn't.
No, I've got it here, Mason.
I'll believe it when I see it.
And if I saw the actual document. There's
I'll
a literal document.
I'll believe it when I see the one production still of whoever's playing Bad Bunny running through the forest or whatever.
Apparently Deadpool 3 is like the No Way Home with like X-Men. So they're all the ones from the movies and they got like costumes and whatever. So...
Wow. Are people going to be sick of multiverses by the time that comes out?
I doubt it.
Okay,
I think
great.
We're all having a good time with that.
I think we're all having a good time with it.
Yeah. And speaking of multiverses and Spum, where does Kraven exist in the Spum? Is he in the Venomverse?
I don't know, James.
Is he in the...
But it might have something to do with Spider-Man. It probably has something to do with Spider-Man.
Oh, very good.
Probably has something to do with Spider-Man.
I was going to say, he looks like he's in a boring normal universe from that leaked image we got.
No, he doesn't, James. He looks like he's an extra in Hercules the Legendary Journeys.
He does, doesn't
Or possibly Xena Warrior Princess.
Yes. So he's wearing a leather vest. He's patented a leather vest. And he's doing a pose.
He's doing somewhat of a pose. He's looking off into the middle distance. He's like, what's that? Is that the lion I'm going to have to kill? Because it's a possessed lion, and I wouldn't kill it normally, but it's a possessed lion. I'm going to kill that lion, and then I've earned my big lion vest. And I'm going to get it at the end and wear it for 2 seconds.
Do you think that's what's going to happen?
Yeah,
cool. Is it a possessed lion in the comic?
No, but they're going to have to justify him killing a lion.
He's Kraven, the animal lover.
Mm.
I think his dad, played by Russell Crowe, is original Kraven or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Original recipe Kraven. Mm. Yeah.
Original Kraven.
Russell Crowe will.
Kraven.
Probably.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe doesn't do muscles anymore. So he'll just be wearing like a big coat. Mm. And I respect that.
And his skirt from Thor, Love and Thunder.
I saw that.
What do you mean?
I went to Acme In Melbourne.
Oh, because there's a costume.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was there because there's like a cool kind of, you go through the history of like film and whatever, and then it's just like, here's some Thor Love and Thunder costumes. And I'm like, wow,
yeah,
great movie.
That's right.
That's what I said. I said out loud.
They left them here. They just they finished filming and everybody doffed their costumes and they left.
Yep.
They got an helicopter and they flew away. So we've reconstructed them as best we can. Some of them had mud on them.
Yep.
Wow. Is there, because a lot of some, at least some of those costumes are mostly CGI, or?
Yeah, no, they're all physically.
Was there that one that looks really good that he replaces after 5 minutes with the fur and the...
No. They got his shiny golden blue one.
Yeah, I thought so.
I mean,
yeah.
It might have been there. To be honest, I didn't hang around.
You were blinded by the shiny golden blue one.
Exactly, yeah. So there you go. Also, you probably saw this, and this is according to Variety and just general news, I guess. The Incredible Hulk is now on Disney+. So apparently the rights have reverted of that movie, which came out in 2009.
Oh, yes.
Back to Disney, and that's why it's there. And
also, the Hulk in the Hulk, just that movie or the Hulk?
We don't know. Okay, at least that movie, yes.
Okay, because for people who don't know, it's partially owned by the Hulk as a character is partially owned by Universal.
Distribution wise,
yeah, right. Which is why the Hulk, which is why Marvel can't make a Hulk solo movie anymore.
Yes,
which is why he was in Ragnarok
and She-Hulk and whatever.
Yeah,
that's right. And look, if you want to learn more about that,
do your own research.
No, listen to our spin-off podcast. I was going to say,
what's up with the Hulk or whatever? Yeah,
we don't know.
We don't know for sure. I mean, if somebody could let us know. It's just us in a room going, damn, we don't know anything about this.
Isn't there somebody that we could reach out to? But we don't have anyone.
I don't have anyone.
Wow.
Mm.
Maybe they changed Secret Wars to Planet Hulk or something. I don't know.
They could.
Another guy. Yeah. Another guy's here.
They could bring in the Beyonder, who's that cosmic guy.
Oh, didn't they have him? Was he in Love and Thunder?
No, that's Eternity.
Oh, no, that's Eternity. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to all you big Eternity heads out there.
That's right. You turn heads. All the turn heads out there. Sorry. Mm. Sorry, everybody. Yeah, there's still a raft of cosmic characters they could just be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, cool, man. Mm. Christopher Nolan has apparently received. That's it.
Okay.
Christopher Nolan?
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's received a new scarf from his wife for his birthday, and he's loving it.
He absolutely is.
This is simply divine.
Do you reckon he gets given scarves? It's like another scarf. I don't even like scarves. It's like a dad getting a tie.
Yeah. Or like a kid saying they like horses and their auntie gives them a horse.
A horse.
A horse every year. That's right. I was going to correct myself, but no, a horse every year. They're like, we live in an apartment. Stop giving us horses.
Every year.
Mm.
He has received a seven-figure check as a sign of good faith from Warner Brothers.
Don't cash that for a few years. Don't cash that until they're out of their various woes.
Do you reckon they told him that? They're like, listen, this will be good in a few years.
Just give me a couple of years. We're going to wait
for the DCU.
Yeah. Don't worry. We've got a lot of money coming in. Don't worry about it, but just if you could.
This is my wedding ring. You hang on to that. If I'm not good at it, you can sell it. So their partnership with Warner Brothers started in 2003 and went right up to Tenet. But of course, that fractured and fell apart because in 2020 or whatever it was, they put all their, or 21, I don't know. They put all their
it's irrelevant and we're not
going to. Who cares?
We're not going to think about it anymore.
They put all their movies on streaming day and date because of the pandemic. And he went, well, that's uncouth and rude.
That's right.
And he threw his scarf over his shoulder and he waltzed out of the office.
Yes, I bid you adieu.
Yeah.
So, and normally I wouldn't lower myself to saying adieu. So, or would he?
Maybe.
Yeah, no, I think he would speak French casually.
Yeah. So he went to, I want to say Paramount, but it might not be. He went somewhere else for Oppenheimer.
Mm.
And so Warner Brothers have been trying to lure him back. Mm. So this seven-figure royalty check.
They've got a scarf and a box with a stick. And they're going to get him.
Apparently.
Paisley scarf, you say.
The bow.
No, I appear to be trapped.
The bonus was made in good faith after Tenet underperformed at the box office during its September 2020 release.
Okay. So a seven-figure check to him personally.
Yeah.
Does that make up to him the fact that his movie probably didn't do as well at the box office?
No, I think they just want him to come back.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, how does he feel about that, I wonder?
Oh, I don't know. It's a great question.
He probably got $1 million.
He doesn't care, yeah. Apparently he's also done a bunch of the Oppenheimer post-production work on the Warner Brothers lot.
Okay.
So that says something, if not nothing.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Don't you think?
Maybe he just wants to blow up a bunch of stuff on the Warner Brothers lot.
That's cool.
Yeah. He wants to blow up one of those Warner Brothers merch stores. He wants to see a bunch of Tasmanian Devil boxer shorts fly up in the wind.
They said Gotham Knights is cancelled.
Yeah.
We weren't sure whether it was going to be Superman and Lois or Gotham Knights.
But that's been renewed. Superman and Lois, it's back.
Well, it's been renewed for season four, and it's probably the final season, but several of the actors are not returning as season regulars, including the characters of Lana
Superman.
Lane. Superman, Henry Irons, General Sam Lane.
Oh, Henry Irons is not coming back. That's a shame.
Yeah, he was good. I should go back to that show that I like.
He was good. So, and General Lane, how are they going to...
I don't know.
I mean,
they say series regulars, so...
Oh, okay, there'll be a case.
It sounds like it's probably cost cutting, I assume.
It's probably Costco's fault.
Typical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thanks, writers, as well, by the way.
That's right. Thanks, writers and Costco. It's your $1 hot dogs that have done this, Costco, somehow. Well, and also, my one critique of Superman and Lois is they haven't put Henry Irons in, like, the proper steel costume.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I want to see, because he's always had that sort of
mech
battle suit kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, but I want to see him in the, cape with a riveted S on the front. I think that'd be cool.
That would be riveting.
And then he could just, he'd be like, he doesn't need a helmet, he's got a, yes, okay. Oh, I like it.
Thank you.
Okay, that's good.
Go on, though.
And then he could, maybe he doesn't have to wear the helmet, they'd be like, he's got a force field or whatever. And that would be riveting.
Yeah, or he doesn't. That would be riveting. Or he doesn't.
Thanks, Clark. This is riveting, I'd say.
So, yeah, there you go.
Okay. Well, goodbye, Gotham Knights. We hardly knew you.
Yeah.
And your protagonist, Chad Kroegli, whatever his name is.
Apparently, it did okay. Like, it got people were watching it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, again, they're gutting the CW to turn it into MILF Island or whatever they're doing.
They are doing that, yes.
And the last bit of news, but this is going to go more into our review of The Flash. Andy Muschietti directed The Flash is going to be, it's confirmed that he's directing Batman, The Brave and the Bold, which is a Tim Drake Batman story, presumably set in the daytime.
So it's a Batman and Robin story?
Not Tim Drake, Batman and Damian Wayne.
Okay, Batman and Son story. Okay, that's cool.
So yeah, that could be fun, but I think that we'll get into The Flash and then we'll talk about that, don't you think?
Yes.
Do you have any more news?
Maybe later.
Oh!
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The Flash, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
On a budget of about $220 million. And
probably,
that's not.
Probably more.
Probably more.
Way more.
Seeing as they announced in this iteration, yes, in like 2014, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So let's say, in the past 3 to 4 years, however long it took to make this.
Yeah.
It's about $220 million and then additional marketing budgets and paying Tom Cruise to say things about your movie or whatever's happening.
I don't know.
Box office numbers are, they're not great. They're okay, but something like this, you want it to be bigger. So it's going to have about a $70 million US opening.
It's mystifying.
You mean as in you don't know?
I don't know. That's bad-ish
well,
for a blockbuster,
for
right?
like a blockbuster with like Batman and The Flash and Supergirl and whatever. Want it to be bigger than that.
That's
yes.
true.
But that being said, at time of recording, there's no like official numbers for this. So we'll just wait and see.
Okay.
So Mason,
yes.
It's been 10 years after Man of Steel for us and also maybe in the movie.
That's true.
That's crazy. We've come to the end of the DC Extended Universe, which is not its name. The Snyderverse, I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is officially the end. What do you think the story was?
Oh, all right. So James, a young hero, makes a choice and he brings with it the terrors of the multiverse. But enough about Spider-Man No Way Home.
Whoa!
But it's the same plot, but it's The Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And?
I liked it.
Okay. I'll say this, Mason.
Yes?
What a hollow and ghoulish product.
The whole thing,
just,
you think?
What a fucking nightmare. Yuck.
Well,
that's what I say, Mason, to this movie.
What I say is there's a lot working against this movie.
Including both, all the things in it.
Both the things in the movie and also everything surrounding the movie in the real world. Here's a few examples.
Sure.
Some of the visual effects shots look like a PS3 game.
Yeah.
And I think Andy Muschietti has said, well, some of those are deliberate.
We'll talk about it because a lot of those are in spoilers.
Two, it's multiversal and this is like, in the last 2 years, how many multiverse product like projects have there been?
4 or 5.
Including one last week or whenever Across the Spider-Verse came out. Multiverse of Madness, No Way Home, as we mentioned.
Also, they're all better than this.
I see.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that's working against it. All the weird out-of-context clips that leaked on social media and all the spoilers, like of cameos and stuff that people were like.
Some of them they just revealed also.
Yeah.
As part of marketing.
The thing you mentioned, the universe is essentially over, or is it? It is, but it isn't.
It's also kind of vague and up in the air.
How many of these characters are coming back? How many of these actors are coming back?
Yep.
And also Ezra Miller is a maniac on a crime spree. They've been doing this for years. Maybe DC is funding that,
yeah,
which has added to the budget.
And that definitely didn't help for me watching this movie scenes as there's two of them the entire time.
Oh, yes.
And
folks, Ezra Miller is in 95% of the scenes of this movie.
Yep.
And
you can see why they didn't scrap it or
and
whatever.
The 5% of the scenes that they're not in are made up for the fact that in most of the scenes they are in it twice. So if the idea of Ezra Miller as a human being makes your skin crawl, you shouldn't see this movie.
I mean, just the idea that, and this is another thing that I think for me is working against it, which isn't an in-universe thing that I just find absolutely just baffling to me, is that Warner Brothers never came out and said literally fucking anything.
Mm.
Or if they did, it was vague and like, well, you know, it's important for mental health and whatever. There wasn't a moment 3 or 4 years ago or whatever before they filmed this movie when there's footage of a woman being like
choked to the ground.
And that's one of the things that is confirmed.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff that hasn't been and they've just not said anything. Even to come out and go, we don't condone that.
Yeah.
And we want them to be better.
Yeah.
And look, we have faith in this movie and the people that are in it and we're moving forward. Even that.
Mm.
But just nothing?
Yeah.
You fucking kidding
me? Let's get Stephen King to say this is the best movie he's ever seen. Yeah.
Here's the thing, right?
Yes.
So James Gunn said, because he said that he loved it, right?
Mm.
Which to me is baffling.
Like, interesting.
Because I trust his judgment in movies, and I love his movies.
I tell you why I think he said that.
I think I know why,
too. One, because he's the boss of the DCU, sure. And he has to say it at this point. He wouldn't be like, no, it's actually bad now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But it's not my fault because I didn't have anything to do with it. Well, I was being fired from something else at the time.
Maybe, like, I feel like there is some threads in this M product which have been worked in.
It has an emotional core to it, and I think whether that works or not for you,
no.
And it doesn't for you, that is what James Gunn is all about, I think.
Yeah.
And I think he's probably and he enjoys sort of off-kilter stuff with an emotional core, and that's kind of what this is.
There is a lot of that
and
in this,
and I think especially if he is the guy who has to. He's the Kevin Feige now of this. He's gonna have to say that he. But I can understand his thought process of looking at this thing, and even if he didn't like it, going, "What can I salvage out of this?
Mm.
What can I look? I can look at this and go, what could I like about this? And here it is.
Sure, I totally get that. Also, I know that he saw this a year ago, and if I saw this a year ago, I would watch this and go, this is clearly unfinished,
right?
But I get it. I get what you're going for.
Yeah.
And if you put a number of steps in place to just visually improve this movie, this is like a 40% better movie because the stuff that they do in it with those visuals is just made my fucking soul hurt, Mason.
Okay.
Like, and I'm not,
do you mean
like the homages?
Yeah, but I'm saying, do you mean from just a visual perspective, or do you mean like ethically?
Both. Okay, all of it. Right. Uh-huh. All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, a year ago, this is fine as a rough cut of a movie. Right.
Okay. And obviously, so you think they should have worked on it more?
Maybe. Okay. Give it another 10 years. But since then also, there's clearly been like obvious edits and face replacement and line replacement. And there's scenes with Ezra Miller where, okay, so when there's two Ezra Millers in this movie, one of them has a fake face. Yeah. And it's really noticeable. And I know not everybody's affected by this, but every time there was two of them on screen and they're in the same shot, I would say 95% of the time, one of them is not there. And I know what they've done. They've filmed with somebody else as a stand-in. And then they've CGI'd the face on. Like, I know that, but I feel like there would have been a way to do this that it doesn't look just horrendous.
Ezra Miller filming it twice, for example.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand when you've got like camera movements, like that is a difficult thing to do, and it's great. It's complicated. I get why they did it this way, but it does not look good to me.
Interesting.
Like, it was really baffling and upsetting. And sometimes they'd swap, so the one that was up close was the upsetting one.
There is also, just plot-wise, there's an element of the characters switching costumes as well.
Yeah.
So if you're initially confused by who is who, at one point the second Barry Allen Flash is suddenly wearing the costume of the prime Barry Allen.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people are like, I've lost it. I've lost it now. I don't know which is which anymore. Because their distinguishing feature is their hair.
The hair, yeah.
Because and once they're in costume, it's like, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't find that. Like, I was always able to kind of, like, distinguish.
Oh, look at this guy.
I know.
Mr. Observant over here,
yeah. But I think also, look, in terms of Andy Muschietti as a director, I like his movies. I like the It movies. The second one less so, but the first one I really, really like.
Mm.
But I also think this is probably a credit to him for putting it together even this much. I feel like this is a Blade 3 situation.
Yeah, right.
Where every component of this movie is bad. And yet it's, like, it is. There are compelling elements to this narrative.
Compelling elements.
And there are good performances. And there are even, like, good cameos and things in it and good little moments that not just Michael Keaton go, remember the time I said this thing or whatever. I think there are actual moments in this.
You know what?
Work.
I'll give this movie credit
I like
for.
The jet. The bit in the middle of the jet spins. That's the thing, right? I like.
I didn't like that. Anyway, what I enjoyed about this is that without comparing it too much to anything else that came before that is quite similar, Spider-Man No Way Home, they at the very least gave that character, the Keaton's Batman, like somewhat of an evolution of the character. They didn't just go, oh, this character's trapped in amber. He didn't do anything since 1992 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I saw some.
He's in a cupboard.
Yeah, that's right.
He was hiding in a cupboard
for 30 years.
If you haven't seen it, you think I'm joking. I'm not joking. We'll do big spoilers later,
we'll
by
do
the
big
way.
Spoilers, but I was going to say there's an element. I saw on Twitter some people saying, well, he doesn't really share that many elements with the Batman from his previous movies, but there is a moment in it where you see him. It's after one of their battles, and he's like stitching one of his wounds with a fish hook. Like he's fishing in a bat, and he looks at himself in the mirror, and he goes like, yes. And it's like that is the exact look that he gave that time that he stuffed a bomb down a clown's pants and kicked him into a storm drain, and he exploded. Like that psychopath.
Yep.
That particular Keaton Batman psychopath, and I'm like, no, it's good to see that go back.
I agree, and I think also if you were like, this doesn't feel like the Keaton. The original Keaton one, which I think it does. Mm. It's technically not him.
It is. You're right.
It's pretty much him, but it's the convergence of timelines, and they explain it with spaghetti means that.
And if you think we're joking, we're not. It's after he comes out of the cupboard.
This is a version of that Batman who's pretty much the same, but he's always existed in this universe, as opposed to the Ben Affleck Batman, who has a weird bulldog cowl.
I liked it too. Yeah.
Just a real gruff squish.
Here's the thing that I liked about this movie is I thought that there is some quite good just superheroes teaming up stuff. Towards the start especially. Less towards the end, I think, which is the pointy end where it maybe should be better. But I think towards the start we see like the flat, like, because, you know, we've got the Ben Affleck Batman and he's off doing big time crime fighting, and I like the idea that he's sending the Flash off as like this janitor to do stuff to
knock down a hospital
to like do the cleanup. I thought that was fun, but then they do some I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah,
and we talk about this all the time, but it's a shame that Ben Affleck Batman never really got a proper solo Batman movie, because he's good.
He is good.
And I think this new look he has, he'll never have again, because we'll never see him again.
Oh, maybe.
The blue-gray suit.
Who knows? Mm. So I don't think in a movie of this budget
go on,
I've ever seen worse-looking CGI people in anything. Mm. Maybe it's a slightly unfair comparison, but this is some like Scorpion King shit.
Like, oh, I know. I saw that comparison on Twitter earlier.
My goodness. And here's a quote from Andy Muschietti who says that.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
He says, because a lot of.
I said sorry.
A lot of the times when you see the CGI people, and not always, but because there's a second Ezra Miller running around this movie who looks horrendous. But again, not everybody.
Oh, no, there's a second Ezra Miller.
Not everybody noticed or was bothered by that, which is fine. He said that the idea, of course, is that we are in the perspective of the Flash. Everything is distorted in terms of light and textures. We've entered this water world, which is basically being in Barry's POV. It was part of the design, so if it looks a little weird to you, that was intended. I don't believe you. The design choice was, let's make this look like the Polar Express. I do not believe you. And even with, look, just, you ran out of time. You ran out of money. Totally. That can happen. I would 100% accept
that. They gave that check to Christopher Nolan, so they ran out of money.
You might be right, yeah. But just, and if you're saying it's stylized, and I know he's protecting his movie, I get that. If you're saying it's stylized, you don't want to stylize it in a way that's not this.
If you were going to make a deliberate stylistic choice, you might be like, okay, well, these faces look like this, but they're sort of, they've been flashified. They're like got lightning around them or something like that, you know.
Yeah, there's a moment when he first travels through time, and you see, like, all the time kind of rolls back in kind of a bubble.
Yeah, they've invented a sort of a new time travel mechanic. Yeah.
And I don't hate the idea of that, and it's an interesting kind of visual.
I liked it. To me, it felt like a throwback to your Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Sure,
famously a storyline that we both love.
That's right.
Comic books. Yeah,
but within that, you pass like events from the DCEU that have happened. Like you see like Captain Boomerang, you see a bunch of others. I can't remember whatever.
And just Captain Boomerang.
Yeah, well, like Superman's in there and whatever. And they're very CGI. And that I'm like, I no, but it was fine because they're kind of still framed and you're passing them. But when you're seeing them moving and doing things.
CGI Ron Livingston, for example.
Yeah, exactly. I guess he's from a different universe than Billy Crudup or whatever. Well, let's talk about that, because there's emotional stakes in this movie.
Yes.
And I don't know whether it is the Ezra Miller thing, but I didn't feel a single thing.
So the actual plot is that...
It's the Flash season one.
It is the Flash season one, but if you haven't even seen the Flash season one on the CW, probably available now on CW Now app or something. The Flash's mother was killed when he was a child.
By who?
Well, I was going to say, in That's probably for spoilers.
Yeah, it is.
But and so he now he has his powers. He's like, well, what if I could go back in time? He discovers he can go back in time. He's like, well, what if I just changed a little thing and prevented my mother from being killed? Oh, and his father is on the hook for the murder because everybody thinks he did it. And then my mother will still be alive. But in doing that, his mother is alive. But it's changed. It's altered the trajectory of the world. And so there are no superheroes. And General Zod is coming to destroy the world. And he's like, what am I gonna do? Mm-hmm. No time for brunch. No time for brunch.
That's right.
But yeah, so the emotional.
And have to stop a very disinterested Michael Shannon.
That's right.
You probably saw the headlines this week that was just like, I didn't like making this. Mm. It was boring. Mm. Anyway, go on.
And when he said, yeah, I was in there for 2 weeks, again, I think he was in there for less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's some moments where, he's probably, I mean, he's in it.
Yes, but his head's in it.
There's very little of, he's always got the shield up as well. Mm.
Yeah.
Which I don't know whether is covering, like, if they needed to CGI him at certain points.
Yeah, right,
but,
right.
You know, that weird holograph shield that he's got on. Yeah. And Fiora is maybe in this, that actor.
Yeah, I think she is. Yeah. I think so.
But who's to say?
But were they ever in the same room? Absolutely not. So the emotion. So obviously the emotional stake is, you know, he's got what he wants. His mother's back.
Yeah.
But, and a version of him has had, you know, the last decade with her.
Yeah.
But... if this universe, you know, he's got to find a way to save this universe from being destroyed, but also
Keaton's here.
Also, Michael Keaton's here. He's in a cupboard the whole time. but is that sacrifice going to involve, you know, his mother dying again?
Yeah.
And you didn't believe in any of that?
No. I mean,
I liked her.
Yeah, I thought she was good.
And Ron Livingston, I like all the time.
Again, I don't know whether this is like a real world, it's like a Jared Leto thing where it's just like, no. I will not.
Mm.
And because I think also Ezra Miller's performance in this is probably good.
Mm.
Like genuine, I mean, being two of you is hard and whatever. Like, sure. It's probably good.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Keaton knows he was in Multiplicity.
That's right. He would know, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing, right?
Go on.
There's an action sequence at the start.
Yes.
Where the Flash saves a bunch of babies and it's kind of a comical kind of farcical Looney Tunes kind of situation.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I think that's a fun idea.
I thought it was a fun idea too.
But is that, are those horrible babies, is that also stylized? I guess they're in the Speed Force.
Yeah.
Horrible. Horrible to look at.
Yeah.
Horrible looking dog. Just horrible.
Yeah, look,
around.
I like the sequence, and like you said,
I also thought that, oh, this is the bad bit people were talking about. That's nowhere near the worst looking thing in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. If people haven't seen it and they're not planning on seeing it, you might have seen a leaked piece of footage on Twitter. Where it looks like the Flash is putting a baby in a microwave, and that's actually reversed footage. He's taking a baby out of a microwave that he earlier put in a microwave. So, but I like the sequence. I thought it was there's a fun joke. Because they've added the mechanic, which was never really in the previous movies, where he needs energy to operate.
Yeah.
And he's got a little meter on his suit. And so,
calories.
You know, which I think, you know, it's sort of, I think that's useful because it takes out of the idea of he can do anything forever and he has ultimate power because he can move at the speed of light, et cetera.
Apparently the original version of this, which was the guys who made Dungeons & Dragons, a lot of it was going to be focused around that.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
But there's a funny, like, misdirect joke, which to me felt very much, if you remember that Simpsons episode where Homer's like, these wieners will give me the strength I need. You know that?
Well, he's running from the dogs.
Yeah, he's running from the dogs. I thought that was a fun misdirect. I thought that was a good bit, but you're absolutely right. The babies never look like real babies at any point.
No.
So I think... I don't know. I for whatever reason, I was willing to push through that a lot of the CGI in this is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
until the people. Same. For that, I was like, okay, whatever, really, you know.
Because I also thought the rest of the action, I thought the concept was good in that sequence.
I think the concept for most of this is
good. Yeah, that's the thing about it. And I think, I guess it's like, it felt to me like, again, I've felt the same way with Quantumania, where it's like, the idea of picking up a comic book, if all this was in a comic book, like a single issue, I picked it up, I don't know what's going on, and I just open it up, and I go, oh, Flash has got to save all these babies, and he's doing, oh, that's a bit of fun kind of thing. And it sometimes that works for people in real life and sometimes it doesn't, I guess. And for you, absolutely not.
Absolutely not, for most of it.
Yeah.
I also think the running is probably just not better than what's been done in the CW, but also I think with something like the running and if you're doing Flashpoint and the mother's dying and whatever, how do you even distinguish that from something that's been, like, it's just the story that you're doing.
Yeah.
And like, so the running is like, it's all right, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I think we're at the point where we've seen so much fast comic book stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like we've seen it slow-mo, we've seen it super fast, we've seen various colored lightnings and smokes when people are moving about Morbius.
That's right.
So you're not it's not interesting, really. There's not an interesting way to do that. Maybe the bit where their feet went together.
Oh, yeah. There was a...
They fought in that big grey field.
Yeah. What I appreciated as well...
Which I loved.
Yeah, I know. We know you loved it. I guess what I did appreciate is that we saw the distinction between the Barry Allen of now and the Barry Allen of back then. And there's sort of an acknowledgement that the present day one is less annoying than the original version. I like the fact that he's better at running.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know.
That is good.
The problem there, of course, is that, and it's a problem with a lot of superhero movies, but it feels very prominent in this, is that we've had an evolution of the character, but we didn't see the evolution.
See it, yeah.
Like he was a goof in Justice League.
Which one?
Both?
More 2017.
More 2017.
Wait, so I think.
But then in the present day one, it's clearly he's better at superheroing, and you know he's competent and he knows what he's doing, and he's this Barry Allen is good enough at superheroing that he can talk to his previous version and go, here's how you do this, and here's how you do this, and here's how you phase, and you just have to save one person and blah blah blah. But we never saw that.
Yeah.
Like there's a big gap where he clearly learned to do all that.
Yeah.
And in an ideal world, we would maybe get another movie or something, you know, that fills in that time, but we're never going to get that, obviously.
Just jump to Flash.
And that's another problem is, of course, that there's more than one Flash story.
Yeah.
And
I mean, name another one, but yeah. No, of course there is.
Yeah. But, you know, the idea that they've done this so many times, they've done it in animated, they've done it on the TV series, and it's just another kind of, well, it's an epic multiverse and the whole, everything's at stake here kind of thing.
And boy, was it.
Sure was.
But also it was more like this particular world is at stake.
Yeah.
And who cares? That was another thing because about this world and they're like, well, Flash, why would you save this particular world? And he's like, well, my mother's here or whatever. But I'm also like, yeah, why would you this one? Who cares?
Yeah. There's
a billion of these.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I guess this is the only one that looks slightly real. So here's something I like.
Go on.
Michael Keaton, there's a moment where they get on a little elevator platform and he's to escape and he pulls that little tape measure.
Yeah.
And it's like that bit with Vicky Vale when he's like, how much do you weigh or whatever. It's like that. It's just Batman just doing some little on-the-fly calculations.
He's got all these technologies from the 80s, which I really appreciate.
That was great. Yeah. And there's another moment where a guy walks out in front of him like a Russian thug and Batman goes to make him flinch.
Yeah.
Batman does that I genuinely thought was great. Mm. Really, really good. But I also, I don't know whether I like this or not, but I don't know. This Batman cannot move like this.
Right. Yeah.
But whatever. They sort of
lampshade it because there's a line in it where there's a scene in the trailer where he leaps down and he does some very Ben Affleck Batman, like leaping about and grabbing a guy on a grappling hook and flipping him into the air and dropping him on the ground and then beating up a bunch of guys. And there's a moment where he's like, oh, this is going to hurt.
Mm.
Like he clearly knows that this is – he doesn't have a lot of this in him kind of thing, which I quite like.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Again, the Batman elements are not the
– No.
The Batman elements are not the problem with this movie. There's no problems in this movie. Just kidding. There's a bunch. Also, and here's the thing that I don't like about this. This absolutely puts an end to the idea that there might in one day be a Batman Beyond movie where there's a young protege of Batman being the new Batman and Bruce Wayne is in it because they've just done all these beats with Michael Keaton.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think there's a chance that they could make that movie.
Right.
I mean, and I guess there might have been elements of that even in the Batgirl movie, which he was in, which is gone.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, just the fact that they put him in this, like if they brought him back and went and now he's – future Batman. It's like doing another Terminator. It's like this is the sixth Terminator 3 movie that you've made.
Also, I don't think he wants to. Like,
no, he probably wouldn't.
Keaton is having more fun than I thought he would be based on the trailers.
Yeah.
Like he looks kind of like he's phoning it in some of the trailers, but in this, it feels like, you know.
When you get outside of the let's get nuts and whatever, he's trying.
Yes, that's true, yes. And that's all we can hope for veteran actors who are in the movie Multiplicity.
And we saw his car and that's it.
That's true.
Would have been nice to, you know, drive the car. Wow. Spoilers if you wanted to see the car drive. I also thought...
spoilers on the car.
Sasha Kaye was a really good Supergirl.
We've learned her name's pronounced like that,
yes,
by the way.
Yeah. But it's not... not in it enough. I feel like like the suit looks great.
Yeah.
Like the rivalry that's set up between her and Zod I liked and the reason that they're going head to head I thought was good. She looks convincing as Supergirl. Mm. I think it's a bit rushed in terms of like discovering her and then that turnaround and then her having a handle on the powers and all of that. That timeline doesn't really work, I guess, but She's good. Mm. And I would like, I think she would be good if, in that Supergirl movie that they're making. I think you could easily put her in and she'd probably do a good job.
For sure.
I don't know whether they're going to, but I wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
What else can we talk about that's non-spoiler in this movie?
I like the Flash suit. I think it's pretty good.
I do as well, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And I like it. I wasn't sure whether I'd like the piping that kind of lights up, but that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's not a terrible idea to change the Flashpoint comic in terms of, like, in the comic it's Thomas Wayne, so you'd get because Thomas Wayne is in Batman v Superman.
So you'd get Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah. Would I like to see that movie? Probably.
Yeah.
But, and that's got an interesting, because it's got, like, the Atlanteans versus the Amazons. Mm, yeah. So it's Wonder Woman versus Aquaman.
Yeah.
And that whole concept.
But Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a new Batman would be thrilling to some people, like comic book readers.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be, it's not a draw for people who remember the 80s and 90s Keaton
but
Batman.
But I also don't think that Keaton is a draw at this point. Because it's people our age and older, really, or if you're fans of this stuff.
Yeah,
and I think it could be the same problem with Indiana Jones. And if you look at, like, the numbers for the weekend, it's not like this got a huge boost because of Keaton.
I think you're right, and I think they were probably hoping for something akin to a Spider-Man No
Way Home. Definitely.
The problem there, of course, is that
that movie's pretty relatively new. Like, the last Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire one was, like, 2007.
Exactly. Yeah. People like Garfield and Tobey Maguire. Like
Garfield's still popular.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, and but he hates Mondays.
Yeah. But also Andrew Garfield is still popular.
Oh, he's popular too. Yeah.
So I think maybe what they were going for here, they may have left it too late to kind of cash in on.
Yeah, like those two are still in the zeitgeist, and people still watch those.
And some of the cameos I feel that they put in this, which we'll talk about in spoilers. If you don't know that, you'd be like, "That's why it'd be weird." Look, like some, I know.
Yeah.
But that's
the thing. I think if you like this movie more, I think some of those cameos. See, some of the cameos I liked, and some of them I'm like, some cameos are like, some I were indifferent to. One in particular, I'm like, oh, that's awful. You shouldn't have put that in. It's probably not the one you think, but it's the other one you think.
Maybe, but they all look bad.
They do all look bad. But I think there is one cameo in there. But I think if you like this movie more, if the visual effects were better. There was no Ezra Miller in it.
Yeah.
You know, the all the external factors. I think you might have seen that one particular cameo and gone, a bit of fun reference.
Sure.
Fun reference for the people who remember that story.
Yeah, you might be right. I also think genuinely, like, it being 10 years of this universe and the Snyderverse.
Yeah.
Like, tying it back to, like, tying Flashpoint to Man of Steel, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think you're staying within this timeline if you've been following it. It's a lot of this is kind of like a reward for keeping up.
Yes,
being
that's
like,
right.
Well, you know Ben Affleck, you know this and that.
Except the Snyderverse fans hate it, apparently. So they're taking that reward and they're spitting it in everyone's face.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyways, before we do spoilers, best worst movie ever.
Look, I'm going to say with a bunch of caveats that I said, I'm going to say best movie ever.
Yep.
Had a pretty fun time at the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm going to say bad.
Whoa.
I did not like this, despite a lot of the elements in it I did enjoy. Mm-hmm. But just, it got worse for me as it went. Like, it just kind of, like, piled on top of things I didn't like as it until the end where it just culminated in, like, in some of the worst stuff I've ever seen. So that's the cameo specifically.
So you're going to say worst movie ever?
No, Mason, I loved it. It was really good.
Ah, then now it's canon. Two best movies ever. Okay, so now we're in spoilers.
Okay, so
James, you have to say it.
What?
Whether it's the best movie ever.
It's the worst movie ever.
Okay, there we go, finally.
Yeah.
All right, so we're in spoilers. Big time spoiler time, folks. Time for spoilers. What's your first spoiler?
My first spoiler is that nobody cares about this, but they save Barry Allen's father from prison by making him look up when he's in the supermarket so you catch his face on the security footage. Mm-hmm. So that means it's proved that he didn't kill his mother because he was at the supermarket.
Yes.
But by the time Barry Allen runs downstairs, he sees his father holding a knife in his mother, and the mother is maybe just freshly dead, if not a little bit alive.
Yeah.
So he could have got home from the shops and stabbed her.
Oh, exactly right. Because
and there's no resolution.
Yeah,
who did it?
Barry Allen's father is coming. He gets out of the car with the tomatoes, and then he hears his mother, I think, scream?
Yeah.
So he could have very easily come in and, yeah, you're absolutely right. That was crazy. That. So traditionally,
I mean, it's a different universe, I guess.
Yes, that's right. He could have very easily done it. I'm thinking he was supposed to have heard her, like, her last dying breath or something, and that's why he comes in. But it sounds like she is screaming because she's being murdered like that second.
Yeah.
And that's why he comes
And it's the reverse Flash or whatever normally, right?
Yeah, so traditionally, yeah, so it's...
And if there was a sequel to this, I guess maybe they'd mention that.
Yeah. So traditionally, yeah, it's one of the reverse Flashes who has gone back in time to kill Barry Allen's mother because he's like, tragedy makes you a better superhero.
Damn.
Although traditionally, Barry Allen's parents are just not mentioned. Like this is a fairly new.
If you love tradition, that's the one you should hold in your heart.
That's the one you should hold in your heart. Yeah. And so the villain of this, in addition to Zod and maybe Fiora if she's in this, is Barry Allen himself,
yes.
Who becomes a reverse Flash of a sort.
Yes, that's right. For a minute.
So they end up in this new world where there's no superheroes, and this the young Barry Allen, Batman and Supergirl are defeated, they're killed, and the young Barry Allen's like, well, we can just go back in time and fix it again, and he keeps doing this over and over and over again until he's...
Filled with shrapnel.
Filled with Kryptonian shrapnel, and he's become this... Reverse Flash monster creature, which I quite liked, like design wise.
Yeah,
and
the CG is not good. His face looked bad.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Because
it was like an old man filter.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's this universe's Reverse Flash, I guess. Yeah. And then
the bit where he kind of runs down through the Speed Force and like shoves him out. It felt like, well, that's a bit spooky.
That felt very it.
Yeah.
Andy Muschietti. It felt like, okay, there's this
someone else
beast haunting the Speed Force. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah. I guess before we get into the spoilers of all the cameos and the reversing of time.
Yeah.
So Wonder Woman is in this also briefly.
Dun, 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 dun.
And they just do the Lasso of Truth joke.
Again, yes.
From the bad Justice League movie.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
But also.
Because that's not canon anymore. No, it is.
No, but it might be.
Yeah, it is.
Because I can't remember specifically, but there's some things in this that they talk about. I think because Ben Affleck's Batman talks to Barry about reversing time.
Mm.
And I don't know whether he does it in, maybe he does it in Justice League 2017, but he definitely does it.
He does it in the Snyder Cut, yeah.
Yeah, for like, he goes back like 10 seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
you're right. And Batman says there's a difference between going back in time 10 seconds and going back years. You're absolutely right.
But there might be a moment in 2017 where that happens, and
I don't think
remember.
There is. I think.
We'll never know.
We'll never know because we'll never go back. It's we're done. This universe is over. What's another. So also,
tell me where Morrison is in it.
Yeah, I think the timeline works out because I guess the first time you see that Reverse Flash, he's pushing Barry out of the timeline, into the past,
so that can happen.
so that the loop happens and he gives past Barry Allen his powers.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
what do you get a tooth knocked out? What's going on there?
I don't. A joke for the end.
That was a
for
joke.
The big reveal that we
joke.
All knew somehow that we all figured
out. Well, we got told.
Yeah,
we got given a scoop.
Did we really?
Yeah, we got that scoop.
Don't even remember that.
All right.
Well, it's good to ruin something for everybody.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah. So when the Batman dies twice.
Keaton Batman.
And the second time, he somehow knows. He's like, no, this is probably it for me. Just don't. I can't. I'm tired. My leg.
Yeah.
How does he know that it's over? Did he measure time with his little tape measure?
Yes.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, stop saving me. Like, how would you even know that?
That's true. And also, if I can be critical, James, if you'll allow me to be... If you could settle down with your effusive praise for this movie and let me be critical for a second.
Yeah.
Supergirl and Batman stories just go. They're just gone.
Yeah.
That universe is done. He's like, oh, I guess everybody's dead in this universe.
Yep.
And sure, like, going back, I guess when he goes back in time and he changes stuff so... This universe doesn't exist anymore, I guess.
That's all wiped.
It's all wiped clean, but there was the Reverse Flash version of this guy, like, condemned them to death thousands of times.
Well, yeah, he was pretty old.
Yeah.
So maybe more. Mm. He's like, I think I nearly figured it out.
Yeah.
You haven't. What are you doing?
That's
Stop
right.
doing this.
Get some kryptonite.
You've got
Find some kryptonite, idiot.
You've got so much shrapnel in you.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have found some kryptonite.
I would have found less shrapnel.
Wow.
So anyway, they decide to reverse time together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the worst thing I've ever seen happens, Mason. So there's all these cameos appear from across the history of the DC comics and universes and movies that have made and have not been made, which I guess is a homage, but as a homage, yuck. Disgusting.
Here's a few. Jay Garrick, the Golden Age Flash, played by some guy for 1 second.
Yeah, it's not Teddy Sears. People think it's Teddy Sears. People think that was a nod to the Flash TV series.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't one in this.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a secret one that hasn't been found yet at time of recording. Mm. But the fact
you don't get John Wesley Shipp.
Yeah, you don't want to have a nod to that show.
Grant Gustin?
At all.
You don't want Grant Gustin?
Ezra Miller was in that show.
He was in that show,
That's wild to me. You don't even want to just see it on a screen.
He would have been like, oh, it's that guy. I met that guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
That show ran so this movie could run awfully.
That's right. Who else? Who do we want to mention?
George Reeves.
Killed himself.
Yep.
That's the one that I found not good. You didn't have to put that in. You didn't have to put... Not Brandon Routh?
No.
Tom
Welling?
Tom Welling would have been great.
Dean Cain?
No, that's fine. You don't have to put him in.
Adam West is in it.
Yep.
Nicolas Cage is in it.
See, that's the one I think if this were a better movie, you'd be like... Finally, we get the payoff from the Kevin Smith story.
If this was a better movie, yes. Nicolas Cage would have actually been in it and there would have been some interaction and it wasn't just glowing orbs fucking crashing into each other with like horrible looking people in them. Mm. This should be a movie where you're actually interacting with other things. You're not just watching them like you're watching a TV.
James, I am watching a TV. I'm watching a TV right now, aren't I?
Do you know what I mean?
I'm watching a YouTube clip of a man giving effusive praise to the Flash movie.
Also, like, nobody knows that. Nicolas Cage spider thing?
People do. See, that's the thing.
People like us know. Normal people don't know that.
Normal people like us know. And I like that one. I'm giving
it up. No, I like it, but I don't like the execution of it. He doesn't even say anything.
He doesn't say anything.
What version is it? Because the Kevin Smith version has the giant spider, but he never cast anybody. The Tim Burton version has Nicolas Cage with the long hair and the suit.
Yes.
So it's a combination of the two. But also in that movie, at the end in the concept art, Superman has cut his hair. So he doesn't have... So I guess there's an alternate version, of which is a blending of...
James, let me... It is. Well, yeah, obviously, James, you've answered your own question. But the answer is they've built that CGI model from the one still photo of Nicolas Cage they had.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I know they would have had to, like, license his likeness.
Yes.
But you don't want to pay him some money because he would do it. He would absolutely do it. Yeah.
Also, for people who don't know, Kevin Smith look, normal people would know. But if you don't know, Kevin Smith told a story once. He was hired to do some rewrites on the Superman Lives script.
And he ended up just scrapping the original one.
Yeah, he ended up scrapping it completely. But the producer, John Peters, who worked on the Tim Burton Batman movies, gave him three rules for writing Superman, which was... I don't want to see him in that old suit.
Yep.
I don't want to see him fly, and he has to fight a giant spider in the third act.
And the giant spider made its way into Wild Wild West.
But apparently, I learned this recently, that was already in the script before John Peters produced that movie.
Oh, my God.
There was already a giant – maybe he was like, there's a giant spider? I'm on board.
100%. So oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, of course, the other cameo, which I found just horrendous, was the Christopher Reeve – Helen Slater cameo.
Superman, 1970s Superman and 80s Supergirl.
We covered Supergirl recently and they're in the same universe.
Uh-huh.
So she's alive, by the way.
Yeah, she is, yeah.
They fly in.
She was in the Supergirl series.
She's
in the CW.
There's a series of videos that started about 12 years ago on YouTube and somebody made...
Sunday Movies?
Yeah, it was me. Superman versus the Hulk.
Okay.
In the CGI, and it's the Chris Reeves version.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It looks... Like, that looks better than this.
Mm.
I cannot believe... They did not just get footage of him.
Mm.
Why would you do it like this?
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? Surely there's enough existing footage of him.
I know that. They put Marlon fucking Brando in Superman Returns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like 10 years after he died or whatever. Like, you cannot tell me that this was not possible.
Yeah. Also, he should have gotten Ben Affleck as George Reeves.
Sure.
In Hollywoodland.
That would make more sense to me.
No, it would make less sense. But
you know what it looked like?
Yes.
It looked like, you know, that the old DC introduction, which they didn't use for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I say old, I mean the one that they started maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
With a bunch
of characters they never used.
Never see their faces.
Yeah.
It looked like it had the fidelity and the texture of that. And those people didn't have faces, Mason.
During the CW Crisis on Infinite Earth, there was a bunch of scenes where they just got like... Like the universe is exploding and they just got various characters to be like, what? It was that, basically.
I mean, that would have been better. Can you imagine also like the various Flashes running through these universes?
Yeah.
And like they run past like a real Nicolas Cage or Superman beating himself up in a junkyard in Superman 3. Just something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you're watching orbs crash into each other.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Well, see, that's the thing as well, I think.
Are you kidding me, Mason?
I was kidding you this whole time, actually.
Oh, this is a joke?
Yeah, I made this. I made The Flash and I hired out the cinema.
I felt bad when I saw them. Like, it made me feel bad. And this goes back to what I've been talking about before. Whenever I see dead people recreated in movies or people, like, made to look young, even when it's, like, Luke Skywalker.
What about Indiana Jones?
I haven't seen it yet.
Mm.
but it never makes me feel good.
Interesting.
It's either neutral to bad.
Mm. Is that because you're an empath?
Maybe I'm an empath.
I think it's probably
maybe I feel
empath.
Too much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably it, yeah. Yeah, I think what it did for me when I saw George Reeves and Christopher Reeve and Helen Slater, what it did for me is I was like, oh, imagine the adventures they would have had.
Yeah.
Like there was a moment of that, but then I'm like.
But when they flew down next to each other.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, wouldn't that be nice having them? What fun adventures.
Yeah.
So that was, I had a nice feeling some of the time.
I mean, imagine doing, you get some footage from Batman 66.
Nice.
And they're climbing up the building and two flashes just run past.
Oh, that's right.
Or Batman's running around with a bomb and you just zip past.
Oh.
Like that is, and that's like, that's ghoulish. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But that's better than this, I feel, in my humble opinion, Mason. Were these late additions to be like people are expecting cameos?
I think so, yeah.
They would have had to have been.
Yeah, here's the thing. The reason I don't feel that bad about the Christopher Reeve one is presumably his family signed off on it, I hope.
Unless
Warner Brothers owns his likeness rights forever somehow.
That
so in which case I feel
around.
But I don't. I feel bad about George Reeves because George Reeves has he died with no family.
Yeah.
So they're just like, who cares?
And like you said, he didn't just die. He killed himself
because he was typecast.
I know there's conspiracies.
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
God damn. Yeah. Anyway, Clooney shows up.
That's right. As we knew he would.
Yep. I like how he was small.
I liked how he was small and he didn't shave his beard. He's just like, whatever. I assume it's because like Keaton, he's not Batman anymore. He's just Bruce Wayne now. But I like the idea that they were like, well, your Batman was clean shaven with dark hair. And he's like, nope, I will not. I absolutely will not.
So I guess, again, it's not really the version from Batman and Robin. It's converging.
So does that mean that he's
Batman now?
No, well, I guess. But is this – so in this version, the Flash – has saved his father, like he's gotten his father out of prison, but also he's in a reality.
Or he's altered this reality.
He's altered this reality so Ben Affleck Batman's not Batman anymore. So this reality's still broken.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a mid to post-credit scene with Aquaman where he's saying how you're the same in every universe except for the one where he's the dog or whatever, where it felt to me open-ended enough, and people will probably dispute this,
yes.
But they haven't said the hard word on this at all, that he could have fixed it again.
Yeah.
Because they'd ever specify. But here's the thing. There is the original ending, there's a couple of things that they changed. When they were screening this, Clooney, you don't see who gets out of the car.
Right, yeah, of course.
So they hid the Clooney cameo. Mm. And then there's an original ending where Barry returns home after the Aquaman bit.
Our old pal Barry?
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
I like how he's just sleeping in the puddle.
Yeah, I like that.
Because he's a grub. He's in his grub era.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of his monitors start flashing, and apparently Ben Affleck appears on one of the screens wearing the super no cowl, and he doesn't know if this message will find Barry, but if he does, that he says, we need your help, he says, you have to find us, Barry, find us, and it ends with Barry saying, oh, fuck. And that's the end,
right?
Oh, they put an F word in this as well,
I guess. Yeah.
But so I think they've been talking about a sequel to this.
Uh-huh.
No.
There's no way they'll do it.
No way.
There is no way they'll do it.
Unless this does make $1 billion, then yes, it will.
If this good word of mouth gets out.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting because I obviously hated it.
Yeah,
and you were saying it was there were some moments that you liked, but you're not obviously.
That's right. So if this goes viral, I imagine Warner Brothers will put this. Warner Brothers will put the entire transcript of this on their posters, I would imagine.
I did enjoy, though, that Ben Affleck's like, listen, I know you're talking about you can go back and save my parents or whatever, but I don't think it's a good idea because it makes us who we are. And then Barry Allen wrecks Ben Affleck so hard that he rolls him completely out of this universe.
Yeah.
Just wipes him from existence. So, that's fun.
Yeah.
Now, we'll talk about some sequels and some upcoming stuff.
Right, I love that.
But do you want some reviews from people who have written in?
Yes.
All right, here we go. It's from Ben who says, The Flash checked a bunch of concept boxes, but the execution of them left a lot to be desired. The CGI was horribly uncanny valley, and I think they forgot to style most of everyone's hair. Flash's suit and Keaton's performances didn't make up for the video game quality. Brad says, thankfully, The Flash is phenomenal fun. On the spectrum of multiverse movies, it's more No Way Home than Spider-Verse or Everything Everywhere All at Once. A sugar rush of comic book pop with surprisingly toothsome emotional beats. Mm. I really, really enjoyed the ride.
Very toothsome.
Yeah. So again, like that one, I like in concept, I agree with.
I think not execution. Let me ask you this, James.
Mm.
If the CGI was still as ropey as it is and you didn't know anything about the external circumstance of this movie, do you think you'd like it more?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think I'd probably like it more, but I don't think I'd love it.
And I think that's probably what they're banking on, general audiences who don't know anything about what Ezra Miller got up to and don't know.
Because most people don't, really.
Exactly, and I think most people would go like, oh, I remember Christopher Reeve's Superman. Oh, I remember 60s Batman. Isn't that a bit of fun kind of thing?
But the visuals of it and the execution of that like speaks to me in terms of like what they think people are willing to accept. Yeah. So that to me I find worse than just the fact that it looks
interesting.
Terrible.
Okay, yeah.
And look, as if they were just like, look, we ran out of money and whatever, like I would have been like, okay.
When this comes to streaming, without a doubt, there'll be a guy. Yeah, without a doubt, there'll be some people on the internet who take individual scenes and tweak the CG so it looks better, which is...
Yeah, I can't wait. It's from Clark who says, The Flash is bad, actually. Supergirl and Keaton don't make up for the fact that Ezra Miller is going through some serious stuff. Weird green screen and odd CGI make all the issues come forward. And Mike says, there's no way that Top Gun joke was the version of The Flash that Tom Cruise endorsed, right? So, yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. So in this universe...
They talk about how...
Eric Stoltz is in Back to the Future and... Michael J. Fox is Maverick?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, yeah, okay.
No, was it Michael J. Fox?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, great stuff all around. Maybe he loved it. Maybe Tom Cruise was like, incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Apparently it was a 15-minute phone call where Tom Cruise was like, I love this and I'm normal.
Yeah, nice.
And they were like, thanks, Tom.
Tom, you are normal.
Anyways, the sequel apparently depends on box office.
Okay.
But, of course, Andy Muschietti is going to apparently direct Batman, The Brave and the Bold, which I don't have a problem with really at all, because I think telling a Batman-focused story, I think if you look at, again, the emotional stuff and if you look at the Batman stuff in this, I don't think any of that is particularly bad.
And also, I think the best, like I said, the best action sequence I think was the initial one, and I think Batman racing through the streets of Gotham until it gets to the freeway and he's CGI Batman bouncing across the cars and stuff. But I think the
48-year-old Ben Affleck pinging off cars.
But the bike chase stuff I think was very good. I think that looked good. And Batman, you know, Bruce Wayne and Damian Wayne taking on the League of Assassins or whatever, that's going to be way less CGI heavy, one would hope.
One would hope.
So, you know.
Yeah. And also if it's bad, who cares?
Mm.
Because there'll be other movies and a Batman sequel that they're also making.
That's
with
true,
a
yeah.
different Batman.
And a Penguin.
And a Penguin TV show, which is currently writer strike delayed.
That's right.
So Blue Beetle is apparently going to be the official first movie in the DCU, but it's obviously not. It only is because it just happens to be.
That's true,
it wasn't made that way. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be so standalone it won't matter.
That's true.
I don't think we're going to get Wonder Woman showing up and waving at everybody. Mm. Though she has been doing that lately.
Yeah.
So maybe. I don't have a problem with her staying as Wonder Woman.
Wow.
She's great.
Well, it's good to know you don't have a problem with it, James.
Also, that brings us, I guess, to Aquaman 2.
Yes.
Where is that set? Like, is this universe fixed?
Mm.
And now, or is this universe, like, fucked? And Aquaman 2 takes place in that. Or is it set in the new DCU? But also apparently he might be Lobo also.
Oh, I'm excited for that. I hope Lobo shows up in the post-credits of Aquaman 2.
Whoa. Yeah. That would be pretty rad, wouldn't
That'd
it?
Be rad.
Well, apparently they scrapped a bunch of stuff from that, including, I think it was that it had Keaton and Clooney cameos maybe.
That's right, yeah.
Or one or the other, and they switched them and now they've maybe taken them both out.
Yeah.
We won't know until we see it, until they figure out what they want to do.
Also, they haven't cast the new Batman in this yet, in this universe yet, so... Why? I don't think that there's no way they would put a Keaton or Clooney cameo of Batman in Aquaman 2 and then recast Batman, because I think that'd be too much confusion. I think if anything, if they were going to put a Batman cameo in the end of Aquaman 2, it would be whoever the new Batman is.
Yep.
Like they'll cast him real quick and they'll get him in there.
But they probably, I'd say it's more likely that if there's no Batman in that movie.
Absolutely.
Depending where it is in
the movie. So bats can't live in the water.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're thinking of a fish.
I am thinking of a fish.
Yeah. But I guess also, I think that their plan was, until James Gunn came on board, that Michael
panic.
Keaton. Panic. Yeah. And Michael Keaton, because he was in Batgirl, he was in Aquaman 2, I think they were going to make him the linchpin of this story.
Mm.
And he was going to be like the focal point until James Gunn said, maybe we don't put like a 75-year-old man as the linchpin of the universe.
That's right.
But they were 100% lining him up to be their Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I
do not doubt that for a second.
So you're saying they should get Robert Downey Jr. as Batman?
Yes.
Great.
That's exactly what
I'm
saying.
That.
Yeah. So that's everything.
He doesn't do anything. He just says he's Batman all the time.
I'm Batman.
It's just Robert Downey Jr. He shows up in a fancy car and he's like,
You're a fan of me? I'm Batman.
Yeah, I'd be a fan of me too. I'm Batman.
Is that everything?
I think that's everything, yeah.
What a fucking train wreck.
What a time.
It's been decades of trying to get a Flash movie going. And
well, they made the best thing they could, yeah, given the circumstances.
Anyways, I guess let us know.
Yeah.
I mean, the responses we're getting, it's really like I loved it and hated it and everything in between.
Mm, yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't think this is like a universally hated thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you like it, like, I don't, that's fine. Like, I'm not angry at you.
You seem a little angry at me personally.
No, really. Like, I like when people like things. Mm. It makes me happy, yeah, if people enjoy something. That's good. Even if it's absolute fucking dreck.
Whoa.
All right, Mason, what's
Well, otherwise nobody would listen to our podcast.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Who am I to cast stones?
That's right.
If I was in charge of this movie,
yeah,
there's no way it would be better than this.
Yeah. But that being said, the CG is better in our podcast. You can't see it.
Yeah,
but we've worked really hard on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we put in the effort.
We got the Superman versus Hulk guy to do it. That's right. Really good.
Yeah. Anyways, what is it time for?
It's time for what we're reading.
What are we going to read?
That's right.
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? Well.
James, now, we're back in the room.
Now that we've finished talking about a movie which has so much in it that it's basically for nobody, let's
or talk for everyone?
No.
Mr. Negativity over here.
Let's talk about what we've been up to.
Okay.
What have you been reading?
Well, I haven't been reading anything or watching anything, but it's a big week on Netflix.
So big.
So if you've cancelled your Netflix subscription, as you should have, maybe find a new email address.
Yeah.
And sign up and get a free 2 days or whatever.
Apparently,
they give you now.
Sign-ups are up after they stopped password sharing.
Supposedly, so but I don't think
that's
what they
say. Yeah.
I think that's true. But yeah, anyway, big week. There's a new season of Black Mirror, which you've seen.
Yes. I'll talk about it probably more next week or whatever.
Yeah, we should.
I didn't realize I was at the end of it, but I was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Went by just that
quick. I was
like,
only five. Okay. I thought there was six.
Well, there's not.
Yeah.
And also,
Jake's Traction.
Jake's Traction is back.
He's back-tion.
Jake's Traction, Hugh Jackman Extraction. That's his confirmation name. Hugh Jackman.
How does he do it?
I don't know.
It's good, right?
I've heard it's good.
Yeah. So. But no, with that and The Flash and various other things that are out this week. And I've watched one episode of Secret Invasion.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah.
I know people are, like, loving it, but I thought it was okay. Like, I didn't love it.
Great.
So Nick Fury comes back to Earth and there might be a Skrull invasion. Mm. And there's three separate times where they're like, Nick Fury, you're not the same since you snapped. You went to space. We think you've changed. Three different people tell him that.
Well, maybe he has.
And then there's a moment where he like thinks, he's like, he sits there and he thinks about the time he got snapped.
Right.
You see it happen.
Okay, all right.
So it's, but I don't know. I thought it was okay. Again, I've got two episodes, but I haven't watched the second one yet. But
wow.
People seem to be okay with it.
Okay.
From their early response. But too early for me to say, yeah, to be honest.
Also, yeah. I've just received a notification that my package is available to pick up and it's both volumes of The Authority, the former Image Wildstorm comic that is now a DC property that they're going to make a movie out of, and I'm like, I better give it a reread.
I can't wait for you to hand those over to me.
I'm not going to give them to you.
Just one of them, the second volume.
Second volume is Mark Miller.
So I don't know what's happening.
Oh, yeah. Great. Okay. But yeah, I remember enjoying those back in the day, and I'm like, I'm going to check those out because it's going to be a big time movie.
That's true. So, it might be a big time movie.
Big time. Well, I mean, you know, what else are they going to do? Another Flash movie? Yeah.
I mean, maybe with a different Flash. What do you think the chances of Ezra Miller coming back are? Pretty slim, right?
Not zero.
I agree, it's not zero. But if the box office is not great, then that's zero. Because they've clearly like sheltered this whole experience. I know we're coming back to it.
Yeah.
Like so they could get the most out of this movie.
Mm.
But now it's out. They have no reason to.
I reckon they could do like a... I reckon they might go, well, the Ezra was not the problem with this movie and blah, blah, blah. And they've had a big stuff, you know.
Yeah,
they've had
a big stuff.
We did a big intervention and they've changed their ways and they're on a path and blah, blah, blah. And we'll see you in 2025 for The Flash 2. And by 2025, we mean 2035.
I'd also think, like, absolutely, if they could, like, are doing better and get better. And I think that's all good. Like, people, their redemption should absolutely be an arc for people.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the fact that they haven't even acknowledged.
Yeah.
Anything, I talked about it. Anyway, should we move to the next segment of the show?
We should. It's letters. Here it is.
Letters. I love letters. I love how many we get.
All right, settle down. You have had too much The Flash, young man.
I have.
And you are hyperactive. And you need to settle down while we do letters.
We're going to here right now. We're going to do letters.
We're going to do this for five more minutes and then we'll end the show.
All right, we'll end the show.
And then you can play PlayStation.
Okay, I can't wait to play PlayStation. If you do want to reach the show, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter. weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. I'll just do this one, Jack, but we talked about it. Says, #weeklyplanetpod. I've only seen 3 episodes of Black Mirror so far. I feel like I deserve this own podcast episode. So maybe The Flash this week, then Black Mirror. And then he said, then Jack says, I didn't like the Aaron Paul one. So yeah, maybe we'll do Jake Straction, Black Mirror next week.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I don't know. I might forget all about Black Mirror by next week, but you'll have seen it.
That's maybe a good sign, isn't
maybe
it?
Maybe you'll jog my... No, I enjoyed it. I thought it was there were some really strong episodes in there. But it also feels some of them are just like, yeah, this is whatever now.
Mm.
Like it's not necessarily like your phone's going to dig into your brain.
That's right.
And bite you. What are you...
Oh, my God, what if it does, though?
What have you got in terms of letters?
This is from Guy. He's emailed in. The great pop culture limb pun tattoo dream, he said.
Oh, my God.
Inspired by Marty McFly, which was, of course, the Marty McFly tattoo that one of the characters had in The Flash this week.
Oh, very good.
What would your tattoo choice combining an icon and a body part be?
Oh, God.
You don't have to. I'm not,
this, do
I'm,
not have one.
No, exactly. Neither do I.
It's a good question.
It's a good question. He's done some puns here. Mine would be knee 3PO, Chindiana Jones, or the more obvious Dick Grayson.
So you'd... Indiana Jones on your chin?
What I'm asking you is what kind of tattoo would you get generally? It doesn't have to be a pun.
Oh, wow.
I'm asking you because neither of us have any tattoos as far as I know.
I would get that one where, you know, it looks like the guy, it looks like in his chest like a baby's driving his body.
What are you right?
I get that
one. Of those guys, that guy who famously said this is the biggest regret he's ever had in his life of doing
that
would get that exactly.
Yeah, right. I don't know. It's probably boring, but I'll probably get the names of like people in my family or whatever.
Oh.
But not the people I like, the family members I hate, like extended family I want to destroy.
Yeah, oh, and nice. And then you'd cross them. And you'd go to a function and you'd point at it and go, here you go. Here you go, mate. Here you go.
Yeah.
Gary. You're in for it.
And Gary then, movies.
And some and you would just you'd get a Sharpie out and you'd crack and then you'd put a line through it and be like
what do you think, Gary?
That's right. Yeah.
What would you get?
That's a great question. I don't know. I feel happy that I never got any tattoos.
Younger
or like, yeah. Oh my God, I love Iron Man. I should get an Iron Man tattoo. Because then like the cultural context changes. I know a guy who's got Red Tornado tattoos.
Ooh.
Like the DC character.
Okay.
He's an android and he turns into a tornado, as you know. And I'm like, that's a bold call because the context behind that character could change
Could be the head of the Hitler Youth in a few
years. Exactly what I'm saying. They're like, well, he's like, that character's significant to you because of their, you know, all the stories you loved as a kid. But what if they're like, well, we need a minor character to make the head of the Hitler Youth or whatever you said. And now all of a sudden you've got the tattoos there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the Southern Cross. Which was on, it's on our flag, and it doesn't inherently mean that you're a big racist.
Mm.
But it
oh, exclusively big racists have one.
But it, yeah, because I love the Southern Cross.
Yeah,
it's in the sky.
That's absolutely yep.
But you know, sometimes a bunch of big racists have them, and whenever you see one, it's like, and you That's look true. At the person, it's like, okay,
Anyway, I'm crowdsourcing ideas for tattoos. If I were to get one, I think I'd get a back of the forearm.
I don't
like
mind that idea. You want somewhere that's not too saggy.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. And I can see it. Because I don't want a tattoo that I can't see.
See, I like the, like, my bicep will be good, but I'm only getting bigger.
Oh, well, you know? Okay.
So I can't, I'll just be stretching
can't
it out.
Can't get a tattoo of your mum that then is stretched out wildly.
She'll have to get bigger.
She'll have to get wider. She'll have to have a wider mum.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, forearm, wrist kind of I'm okay with.
Yeah, but also
I don't mind shoulder blade.
Here's the thing, though, James. I think there are two types of people with tattoos.
I think there's three.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Let's list them out. Go. I think there's two types of people with tattoos. There's someone with tattoos. You look at them and you go, oh, my God, they look so cool with tattoos. I was thinking getting a tattoo. Maybe I'll get a tattoo.
Yeah.
And there's a second type of person where you look at them and you go, I was thinking about getting a tattoo, but maybe I won't. Right? And I'm pretty sure I'd be in the second category.
And it depends on when you see them.
I call it the Ed Sheeran effect That's right.
Well, what's the
I'll
guy?
I'll say anything.
The guy from, what's he called?
Jason Momoa.
Maroon 5.
Oh, yeah, Adam something.
No, I like Jason Momoa's tattoos.
Yeah, I know.
But I wouldn't get those. Like, that wouldn't be a good tattoo for me to get.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I think, honestly.
What if you got a Jason Klokoa? Cloaca. Jason Cloaca. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. But like I love because we see him in the group. I love when we see like people with like superhero tattoos. Like I think they look awesome.
Because it looks good on them.
Yeah,
I don't think it would
work
for me.
I don't know if it would work for me.
Yeah.
But I think as long as you like it, do it.
Good.
Not you.
You can't
stop
me.
All right.
Well. Judgy.
I bet I could. I'd kill you.
Oh my God. Because he's gonna kill me.
How about this, Mason?
Go
from
on.
Tommy West who says #weeklyplanetpod. I can only recall that I liked this film as a child, but only saw it once or twice. Haven't seen it since. Do you have an opinion? Can you explain this? What do you think the story was? It's a poster of the movie Young Einstein.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to explain?
Well, I mean, Young Einstein, that is the That Australian icon Yahoo series.
Yep.
And it's set in Tasmania, which is the...
But in like the 1900s or
yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah. And it's Tasmania is like the lowest territory. It's like an island territory at the bottom of Australia. And his name's Einstein, and he invents beer or something,
and
then he ends
roll.
Up in and rock and roll. Then he ends up in an insane asylum.
Yeah,
that was a huge hit. That
it
movie.
Was big. It was a big independent Australian hit. He and then he ended up making a movie, which I've never seen Young Einstein, but he made Reckless
with Kelly, yeah,
which was Ned Kelly, who's our national icon, which is a bush ranger,
yes,
basically a robber, which I love. It's like a modern version of that.
Yes,
and he robs from the rich, and he's also Ned Kelly, and he gives to the poor, and it's this bizarre, like anti-authority, anti-British monarchy, like pro-Indigenous movie.
Yeah,
but it's also like it looks awful and it's not funny. But there's a real kind of weird charm to it.
Mm.
And Jan from The Office is in it. Hugo Weaving's in it.
Right.
It's this wild movie that came out in like 1993. And then he made one more. And it's on YouTube. I ended up watching a bunch of it the other day just by like happenstance, because I was looking for the tank from Indiana Jones 3, because I was fairly confident I saw it in in Yahoo Sirius's house from Young Einstein at Warner Brothers. And I'm pretty sure I did the tour and there was the Indiana Jones tank.
None of this makes any sense if you're not both of us.
Yes.
And even I'm struggling a little bit.
Yeah, so Hollywood on the Gold Coast, it's a theme park, it's Warner Brothers themed, and there was a Young Einstein house in there, and so it was Yahoo Sirius themed. And then you do like a little tour, and I swear that the Last Crusade tank was there, and there was a couple of them. But I looked it up and I cannot find any proof that it ever was there.
Right.
So I might have imagined it, but I'm fairly confident it was there. So that's why I was looking up Yahoo Series, and that's what got me watching a bunch of Reckless Kelly. But then he made a movie in like the year 2000 called Mr. Accident.
Yeah, I didn't see
that one completely disappeared. But he's a really interesting guy.
Mm.
Like he's lived this really interesting life and made all these kind of independent movies, and I think he's like 60 plus now.
Yeah, right.
But
it's wild that, yeah, he got a chance to make
any
of that, right?
Yeah.
Just a real, real moment in Australian pop culture that he was able to do
off
those.
Off the back of Crocodile Dundee probably got him the first one.
Right.
That independent Australian larrikin comedy kind of thing.
Uh-huh. They were searching for the new Paul Hogan, and they found him in us.
That's right.
Two heroes.
So anyway, that's in answer to your question.
Yeah, we love it.
That was for nobody except us. And Toby West.
I haven't seen Young Einstein or Reckless Kelly since they came out at cinemas, so I could not tell you.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a commentary.
Maybe we should.
Oh, maybe we should do a Caravan of Garbage.
Maybe we should.
Yeah. Maybe we should cover every Ned Kelly movie. That one, the one with Mick Jagger.
Yep.
The
Heath Ledger one.
Heath Ledger one.
There's a parody one which Abe Forsyth did, who might be directing the new RoboCop movie.
All right.
Just called Ned.
Oh, yeah, I do know
like
that one.
Like 2006 or something. Anyway, so what have you got?
Here's one more email. This is from Will.
Will?
Hey, fellas, long-time listener. I was wondering if you've seen the recent interview with Harrison Ford from comicbook.com where they asked him if he would turn into the Red Hulk, and he says he doesn't know what the Red Hulk is.
He's lying.
You think so?
Yeah, he knows.
You think so?
I think the Red Hulk is in that movie. I mean, he might not know.
Yeah.
But I think he would know.
You'd think it'd be in the script, right?
Yeah.
What do you think? See, I'm wondering about, like, if Harrison Ford does a movie where he's not the star of it.
Yeah.
Do you think he gets the whole script, or do you think he just gets his sides?
I mean, he might get the whole script.
But he doesn't read the whole script,
He reads it or not.
I think he's probably like, I wonder. Will says, I think it'd be hilarious if he filmed a whole movie and he doesn't know what the character is. But that's I feel like.
It's possible.
Yeah, I feel like he is from a generation where they didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, or no, he's from
I don't know. I think the movies that he's done, a lot of them are so good that there's no way that he wouldn't have handpicked a bunch of them. But maybe he doesn't do that now.
Yeah.
He did Hollywood Homicide.
Yeah, I've said this before, but I think he's from a generation where they didn't have to know about everything about their character
or
all their relationships to every other character in the universe and all their backstory.
Because there was no universe.
Exactly, and all the famous stories.
I'm Jack Ryan, am I fine?
Fine, exactly. I'm Indiana Jones, he had adventures. What were they? I don't know. Name another, I don't know, he found another idol, you know? So I don't know. I'd be fascinated to know his process in movies where he's not the main guy. I would love to know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I think maybe, I reckon he might do, like, he gets his sides and he does some scenes where he's live action, and then they bring him in the booth and they're like, hey, Harrison, can you go, like, I'll destroy you? And he's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And then he's surprised when he sees the movie and he's turned into a red monster.
Well, I'm the Red Hulk. You're right.
Yeah. I did say that.
Also, like, there's a good chance that he's not voicing the Red Hulk if he is the Red Hulk.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I think Mark Ruffalo does some of it now. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I know they obviously digitize a bunch of voicing. Yeah. I don't know.
They might even get like Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
And put a filter on him or something like that.
They did for one of them.
Yeah, that would be a fun, I think that would be a fun little throwback. So maybe he doesn't, maybe I'm banking on he doesn't actually know.
Okay.
I think for real he doesn't know that he's the Red Hulk.
I think they should get Lou Bega.
Oh, nice, yeah.
He did that song.
I know, yeah.
Mambo number five.
That's the rest of the world's Yahoo Serious. Everybody knows who Lou Bega is.
Then it should be the opposite, where I don't know who he is and I know who Yahoo Serious is.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
Yeah.
What a time.
Who's your Yahoo Serious? Right in.
Yes. Whatever that means to you. Very open-ended. Who's your Yahoo Serious? Is it the Yahoo search engine?
Might be.
Yeah.
Is it the search engine Ask Jeeves? Anyway, Mason, is that it?
I think that's the whole show. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the show. We 100% appreciate it.
Big week.
Gets us out of bed in the morning.
Big week for having to just absolutely rinse a fucking movie, Mason.
That's right. Or love a movie that you loved. Which you thought was great. I thought it was fine. Anyway, folks, thank you for subscribing. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast because that is how we get new listeners. Thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast catcher of choice. While you're doing the subscribe, do a little review. Why wouldn't you, James? Do you have any reviews there?
Got a couple here. You can do them in-app. I'm reading out all the 5-star ones. I'm making my way through, Mason.
Are you reading out the 4-star ones?
Yes.
Are you reading out the 3-star ones?
Yes. No, I'm not.
Are you reading out the 2-star ones?
Those ones I am reading.
What about the 1-star ones?
No.
Good.
I'm not anything less than 5.
Okay, just wanted to be clear.
This one's from Knight Rider 42.
Love that.
It says, best time traveling apocalypse guys. Hey guys, love the show. Always looking forward to Monday morning so I can listen. Your discussion of time travel and apocalyptic doubles reminded me of the movie Frequently Asked Questions about Time Travel from 2009. Keep up the good work and never let your future selves talk you out of the movie reviews.
Thank you, we won't.
I don't even know what me from the future would say to me to stop me from doing this. Like, it'd have to be pretty convincing, Mason.
Yeah. It'd have to be like, James, you could have a sleep in instead. Your one time a year you could have a sleep in.
Would I still get money for the work that I do?
No, but you'd get a sleep in.
I want the money.
Okay. It's all right.
Sorry.
Wow, okay. Now, I'd give it all up for another sleep in, despite the fact that I sleep in most days. Anyway.
Oh, this one's from Superman Lives, who says, it's a podcast. And then it says, it's a podcast.
I love that.
That's 5 stars. And it is
so
a podcast.
True. That is so true.
Can't argue with the truth.
That's exactly right. Also, you can't argue with, you could argue with us if you want to email and get in contact.
You want to argue with us?
You want to argue with us? We'll take you on, brother. weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, at Facebook or Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can go to the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord. Thank you to Fidel and Maisie and Sarabi for moderating as best they can.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a great job over there. If you want to have some fun civil discussions about podcasts and pop culture, get in on there. If you want to follow some people on the socials, first follow
who would you?
Our friend Rob Collings, who edits this podcast and does all sorts of social media stuff for us. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter for all your Weekly Planet news and needs.
News and needs.
All your news and needs.
Oh, my God.
You can follow me at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and on Nick Meso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies, chuck in a buck or an amount you would not miss. Or you can go to bigsandwich.co for $9 per month. Bonus podcasts, movie commentaries, early videos, video game let's plays, all sorts of other stuff.
How much fun stuff is happening there?
So much fun stuff. I have a lot of fun when we make this by that bonus stuff.
Yeah.
We've probably got a commentary coming up or something.
We do. What is this week? I can actually check that while you're still talking.
Please do that. If you want to go to tpublic.com, you can find some Weekly Planet t-shirts. Just have to search for them.
It's not hard.
Use your initiative.
Yeah.
We believe in you. Thank you to The Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. Next week, we'll probably talk about some Netflix stuff and some news. Have a grand old time. We'll go off the rails.
Yes. What do we got here? So I think it's a time capsule this week.
I love that.
Yeah, there we go.
I love that. We're going to talk about a year and determine if it was a good year.
It's actually also the year 1992.
Ooh.
Because we talked about that because Batman Returns.
Oh, so yeah, that's right.
Makes sense.
Very nice.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Grab that jam, you guys. We will see you next week.
Good riddance to us.
Absolutely. Finally, someone said it.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.